We begin now the season of Epiphany, which means to make known. And Jesus is made known to us who he is, what he does, and how he reveals himself to us. And so today we have a story of one of the first things that Jesus did in his ministry. And it has to do with a wedding and changing water into wine. When I was a young boy, maybe in fourth or fifth grade, I received a chemistry set for Christmas. And one of the first experiments that I did was one in the instruction book that was called Changing Water into Wine. In this experiment, you made two clear liquids with some kind of chemicals, and then you poured them together, and presto, it made a red-colored liquid, changing water into wine, or so it seemed. It looked pretty neat to me, and I know I like to show it to my friends. And I remember wondering if perhaps this really was wine that I was creating. The slight temptation was to drink it, but I did know that this was a chemistry set, and my common sense told me not to drink it. After all, only Jesus could truly turn water into wine. For safety reasons, I'm sure that in today's world, they don't call that experiment changing water into wine. Though the experiment looked neat, two clear liquids being poured together and now creating a red one, it was a simple chemical reaction. It wasn't wine that I was creating. Today's gospel contains the miracle at Cana in Galilee, at a wedding, where Jesus turns water into wine. And the gospel comments that this was the first of Jesus' signs, that he showed forth his glory, and that his disciples believed him. Now, there are all kinds of problems and questions about this story. Why would Jesus do a miracle like this just to bail out a wedding couple who didn't plan well enough to have enough wine available? What about the apparently sharp exchange between Jesus and his mother there at the beginning? Jesus seems to turn her down at first, but then he goes ahead and turns the water into wine. In Jesus' day, there was a very different attitude about wine and its place in the lives of people. Wine made glad the hearts of people. Wine was a symbol of celebration. Wedding festivals in those days would go on for a full week sometimes, and they could run out of wine. And if they did, that was a disaster. There was water around, but compared to wine, water was bland and tasteless. Wine got to people and perhaps had them feel good. Now, this was long before alcoholism was really a problem, and it was days before hard liquor and drunken driving and all of those troubles that are associated with that. It was not at all the problem that it can be now. Indeed, wine or any alcoholic beverage wasn't as readily available then, and so alcoholism wasn't really the problem that it could be. The point, though, of the story is that Jesus brings the new wine of the Spirit to replace the old water of outward purification. The stone water jars in the story were for that purpose, to wash people on the outside, to make them outwardly clean. But Jesus comes and offers something new, something different, a new wine of the Spirit that changes people within and opens them up to the joys of the kingdom that he is bringing in to all the world. In the other Gospels, Jesus talked about the kingdom as new wine, which could not be held in the old wineskins because the new wine would expand and burst them. The old forms, the old ways could not hold the new Spirit that Jesus was now bringing in, the Spirit that would break those forms and find new ones. so that the old can never hold the spirit of the gospel. Now there was a new way. Now Jesus was bringing to people a gospel of good news, of Jesus in the world, of God in the world, breaking in to be with us, the incarnate God, as we celebrated at Christmas. And so in this first of his signs in his ministry, Jesus shows forth his glory in that he creates something new, something different for people. The wine is the symbol of a new spirit, a new way that he is bringing into the world. The old way never got inside of people, never really changed them. The old way offered purification and cleansing on the outside. The old way was filled with laws and commandments and rules, filled with all of those thou shalt nots. In the old way, people conformed to the rules that were written on tablets of stone and books. In the old way, it was always up to people. There was always something to be demanded of them, something that they had to give up or produce. The new way is illustrated in the lesson from Corinthians for today, as Paul says, there is a variety of gifts, but always the same Spirit. And the key word is gifts. God blesses us with gifts and talents. He gives to us before he demands anything from us. The Spirit gives us the means to express our lives. The Spirit touches us and blesses us from within. And then we express our faith and express it gladly. When people feel that they are pushed to live up to something, and the push is always there, it makes for a pretty dreary kind of life. And yet that's just what some people can see in the church. The life can be gone, the spirit is gone, and there's not much left to do but simply go through the motions. In some of the other Epiphany lessons later in this season, Jesus goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, and there he tries to bring the spirit to life, but he is rejected and cast out. He's not able to do in his own synagogue what he did at this wedding, and that was to bring life and joy and freedom, the freedom of the Spirit, the freedom that comes from Jesus. Here, Jesus is at a wedding. In the other Gospels, he talks about the kingdom as being a great banquet where people are fed and where they have good reasons to be happy and joyous. And this is the sort of thing that we are invited to this morning, the sort of thing that we are invited to as Christians, as we celebrate, as we worship, as we receive the body and blood given and shed for him. Too often, many consider communion to be a sad thing. We remember the death of Jesus. This is his broken body. This is his blood that has been shed. But we are also to lift up our hearts. This is God's work for us. These are gifts to us and for us that we may bring into this life no matter where we go. God is with us. Whenever we gather to hear the word, to share the sacrament, we are like guests at a wedding in Cana. By ourselves and with our own resources, we can soon run out of what is needed to keep the party going. It is the sign of Jesus' presence that we accept his gifts and are filled with the Spirit. It is a glad time. There is nothing sad here, for we are celebrating the God who loves and lives and gives us gifts always. Jesus brings life to us. He is the Spirit acting within us. May we come to believe in him also, because of the gift of life that he offers to us now. During this Epiphany season, as I said, we learn more of who this Jesus is. We are made known about what this God in Jesus does for us. And we can be glad and rejoice, because these are gifts of love which transform the old into the new, that which came before into that which comes now. And so this changing water into wine, this changing of the old into new, this bringing of the ordinary into the realm of the extraordinary is for real. It is not just a trick. It is not just some chemical reaction, like what I did in my with my chemistry set. No, this is God. God alive in us. God acting for us. God acting with us. May we allow this God to act in our lives and receive him, the incarnate God in Jesus. Amen.